Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? What's up, guys?
Hello.
How's everybody, brother?
Brother.
Great.
The vitamin D makes such a difference.
Yeah, the sun,
mean? Oh, yeah. You get into the sunshine and, you know, even the CDC says it. The best thing you can do for the COVID thing, get outside.
Hey, is that new head of the CDC kind of hot?
Yeah, kind of like what she's got going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it helps that she's like head of the CDC because there's certain jobs that, like, powerful women do think it, and probably powerful men. I mean, that's why, like, powerful men are married to, like, Instagram models.
Nick just, Bosa.
Yeah, boy. We're going to get on a tangent here, but Mike showed me Joey Bosa's. No,
it's Nick Bosa.
It's Nick Bosa, the Niner. He showed me Nick Bosa.
I threw that out there on purpose.
Nick Bosa's girlfriend today, Boutros, golly.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Fish on hook.
Yeah, it's up and good from 63, 64. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like an NFL record, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, it is.
It was shocking.
Yeah.
And you know that NFL players date hot women.
Yes.
It was shocking.
Really, really well done.
Yeah.
So
her name is Jenna Berman.
I'm sure she has a wonderful personality.
That's her name.
And that's why
she's not just a piece of meat.
He's with her and the whole Instagram model thing. I'm telling you, that's the new way to go. Is when you're an athlete, you just grab yourself an Instagram model. I think that's like it's par for the course.
You know, she kind of has a little Kate Upton about her.
Yeah, she does. Like a younger Kate Upton thing. Yeah, it's good. What were we talking about? Oh, the head of the CDC, who's also a lovely gal. But they're telling you the best thing you can do for this thing, get outside.
Get outside.
The sunshine, like we keep showing, like the beach, you know, it's like, oh, no, we're at the beach. That's like the best thing you can do. Get to the beach. Get outside. Be warm.
I'm
get
going
out
through
the sunshine.
Pictures of Jenna.
Yeah.
Because, well.
Yeah.
Our show requires me
Mike to. Told me, and then I felt the responsibility simply for the show to then tell you, and
you
now
think,
you're doing show research.
Do we not give enough credit to how tedious and exhausting it is to constantly be taking selfies that look good like that?
No, I think what we're...
Well, that was kind of part of the comment of we're sure she has a great personality.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's not in any way insufferable, nor is it a pain in the ass that everywhere you go, you have to have like a professional photography thing set up and there's lighting rigs and...
I mean, you just have to look so good all the time.
Well, and then there's filters.
And I know what that's like, but...
No, but I mean, you're natural.
But I don't take selfies.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, literally... Everywhere she goes, there has to be a photo. And I guarantee...
Everywhere.
I guarantee that he gets tired of it, but it's a trade-off. You know, you... I've got quirks, flaws, you've got them, Lynch has got them. Hers just happens to be that you have to do that, but I think there's other things that probably outweigh by a large portion the pain in the ass that is that.
Hmm.
And well, let's just also say this. He's mantastic as well. There's a photo. Yeah, of,
no wonder.
Yeah, there's a thing, like a little video of them like in bathing suits and she's on his lap. He is just as good looking for the ladies or dudes. It's 2021, whatever you prefer.
He has more abs than I knew existed on a human body.
Yeah, he's doing just fine, too.
Are you sure it's not one of those suits people are buying now? You see that?
Yeah, I have seen that.
People are buying suits to get all ripped.
Well,
so they don't have to go to the gym. They can just put them on under their shirt and it makes them look all ripped.
The hilarious part is that
they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Some people too are, and this is like what are they doing now? They're buying airbrushing kits to where like they're spraying on abs.
Yeah.
Like this, like there, you spray on lines. So even if you don't really have abs.
So it's like drawn on eyebrows for your abs.
Yes. That's the thing now. I saw like a.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, there's like a...
Rob says it as if he's done it already.
He's like,
yeah, you can do that.
That was like when he went to Italy. He spray painted on some hair. Like the little pop-up ads that you get.
Doesn't need to spray on any hair suit. Come on.
You know, sometimes in the bottom of your computer or whatever, you'll be like on a web page and then like it's spontaneous. Like, hey, here's a weird ad in the corner. It was for that. It was for airbrushed. And they didn't just do abs. They said you can airbrush anything. So like you could like there was some dude and lady on there and they were like airbrushing their arms. And then, of course, they went to the abs, which I find interesting that you would airbrush yourself when you go to the beach, because if you get in the water, then it just washes off. Or what if you sweat a bunch? Not sure how that works, but I guess for the gram, mm-hmm. It's probably a good thing.
The vanity.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems.
I'll tell you what, though, this gal here, Jenna,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's a little what would be the word? She's just too, she's not my type. Okay? I think I'd have to turn her down.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
She's not, you know. She's a little too fake.
Yeah.
I like all natural.
That's the real issue here.
Right? Yeah.
Rob's not on board.
No, I'm not.
No.
Much like Paulina Gretzky.
Yeah.
I believe that this Jenna Gal and Nick Bosa are perfect for one another. That I would like to state live on the radio.
Well, the Bosa family is definitely very bro-y and very rich. And she seems to fit very well into that.
Straight out of central casting, yeah, both of them.
That length.
Okay, now, where were we? Sun.
BBC.
What? BBC.
CDC.
Yeah, the CDC lady.
Love her.
Well, they're telling us now again.
She's doing a great job.
Get outside. You're not going to catch it from like contact with services. And so get outside. Get out. Enjoy it.
No one cares about COVID anymore.
It was a wonderful weekend.
Look, it's over.
It was amazing. Well, apparently not in Oregon. They're trying to put in extended.
Yeah, well, but that's lawmakers don't know what they're doing.
Whatever.
Look, people don't care anymore. They really don't.
Yeah.
I was reading a story over the weekend that said, because now everybody's eligible 16 and over.
Yeah.
Or at least theoretically in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
All Americans.
Yeah, he's got to be able to get the appointment.
Just get in there and get vaccinated. They were saying that it's not going to be that hard to get a vaccination because we're at the point where the people that have wanted them mm-hmm. and needed them have already gotten them.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that are left don't really care to.
Then I don't care about you. You're right. You don't want to get one. Hey, more power
to
you,
so
man.
All I'm saying is we're at that point where it kind of doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, moving forward.
Only so many people are going to get vaccinated.
Yes.
They're all eligible. Get that done, and then that's it. That's the best we can do, right?
I don't want to hear any of this. We're shutting and rolling stuff back. No, no, no.
So no one cares anymore.
No. Moving forward. Let's go.
They're just like,
yeah.
We're fatigued. We, you know, usually we have fatigue for, you know, like we can glum onto something for like a week.
Yeah.
You know, and be outraged or whatever. Sometimes a month, depending on the
severity
scale.
Of the outrage.
Yeah. But anything over a year, Americans lose interest.
Well, but again,
and that's where COVID is right now. They don't care anymore.
But the numbers across the board are telling you, and yes, there are some spikes going up. And again, I'm not saying that it all needs to be a total free for all, but the fear mongering we need to tone it down at this point.
Tone it down.
Well,
fake
like the
news.
The CDC came out and said we have a 1 in 10,000 chance at catching it off of like a doorknob or something.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying though. None of it matters. Whatever they say, it doesn't matter anymore.
people have made up their
the people that are it's
gonna
take over.
It, the people that are still freaking out about it are going to freak out about it, and the people
you
that
ain't changing anyone's
on.
Mind. Nobody's going to change their habits. The weather's getting better. We're outside. We're drinking. We're having a good time. Some people take it very seriously and still do.
Yep.
That's great. Other people don't. Never have. They will continue. That's it. You know, CDC can keep coming out and saying X, Y, Z. They could say tomorrow that the world is ending if you don't do X, Y, and Z. Dude. Nobody is going to do X, Y, and Z. They don't care anymore.
Rob has officially declared, much like, would you like to make the official declaration?
It's declared. Okay. It is declared live on the air. COVID is over, and it's not over.
No.
But it's over, because everyone thinks it's over. The fatigue has set in to the point where people have just gotten rid of it. We don't care. Give me COVID. I don't even care.
Whether it's real or not, it's over.
That's right.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. With the public.
Well, now where do we go?
Well, it helps that all of us got vaccinated, too. So you can be like, yeah, it's over for us.
Well, I think he's talking about on a much grander
scale. I think there's a lot of people who don't get vaccinated who are like,
yeah, they're
in like,
fact,
whatever.
I would make the argument that the people that don't get the vaccine, they're more in the declaring that it's over than the people that do have the vaccine.
Yeah, they've
been done with it for like 9 months.
And they're like, see, I was right.
Nothing happened. Boom.
Yeah, well, COVID. Who cares? Great weather.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Over the weekend.
It was absolutely.
It's like 85 degrees out there.
So nice.
Did you get out on your boat?
I did not get out on my boat, mainly because I don't have a boat. But I got into a hammock.
Did you?
I got into a, yeah.
Did you see the gal hanging in the hammock right out here on the poop-filled Willamette?
Yeah, I guess she's just over here. This is a couple times now where she's just bringing a portable hammock and posting up.
Isn't that great? That's a good move.
Look, I'll tell you right now that, you know, we did this once. I think you were gone, but we ranked the beers, you know, because you've got First Vacation beer. You've got, like, Balcony in Hawaii beer. You've got the Post Golf Round beer. You know, I'm going to rank hammock beer really high up on my list. I don't know if it's cracking the metal stand.
Where do you put the beer?
What do you mean, the hammock beer?
Yeah, where do you put it?
Well, it just goes right
there. You just have to keep holding it?
Well, you just put it on the ground, too. The hammock is not, you're not suspended up in the air. Like,
well, she is.
Well, that is true. Well, in my hammock, you can put it on the ground.
This lady here, there's some hot, she's outside our windows of our boardroom here.
Yeah.
And she's set up a hammock in between two trees, right on the Willamette. It's beautiful out there. But if she falls asleep and rolls out of that thing, she's rolling down about a 20-foot hill into the poop-filled Willamette.
It's not a sheer cliff, but it is pretty much
straight down. She's like hanging right on a cliff.
Yeah. Hopefully she knows what she's doing.
Well, she's been there. This is like time 10 she's been there.
Yeah, this is kind of a...
That's her spot.
Yeah, that's her spot.
Well, you got to, you know, the trees are the right distance.
Yeah. I just have one of like the metal stands.
So it's
not suspended in between two trees. But the hammock beers, or in my case this weekend, the hammock, not just beer, the hammock beers. I'm a big fan. You don't have to do anything. Like, we kind of went out and did a bunch of stuff in the early part of the day. And then as it got hotter, I just head to the backyard. You go make a run to the BevMo, pick up some cold stuff, start cracking them, do a little barbecue. It's fantastic. It's like a perfect day. Get a little too much color, you know?
Yeah. But that's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. And then Sunday, you play a little
golf.
That
always makes you better looking.
Yeah.
You get
a little tan up there.
Like, you're feeling all pasty and fat and white and COVID-y. And then you look in the mirror after a day out in the sun. You're like, I'm pretty good looking.
And I airbrush some abs on right there. And I'm like, hey, let's do this. Next thing you know, I'm a Bosa brother.
This is why the sun is great.
Yes.
This is why good weather is vastly underrated.
Oh. It just
by some people.
It changes.
Not all people.
It changes just your entire mood.
That's what I was telling my wife this weekend. I'm like, hey, and she's a native, you know.
Yeah.
She's an Oregonian. She loves it here. As do I. But the rain, you know, sometimes the winters
can be a bit much.
It's a little much, right. Mm-hmm. I'm greedy. I want sun all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, think about how you feel right now. We're sitting outside having a cocktail. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh man, this is so great, isn't it? I'm like, yeah. What's the one thing that's different? Because we're still in Oregon.
Exactly.
We're still out on our nice deck with my new little putting green. We got it. Life's good. But what's different?
Weather.
The weather.
Yeah.
It makes you feel so much better.
And then you get into like, even as the evening rolls around, it doesn't really get chilly. Maybe you can throw on a light sweatshirt or something and you're good. You're good till the wee hours of the evening. It's a magical time. Mm. Or like I said, Sunday, went out and played a round of golf and then came home. Guess where I went when I came? Right outside.
Outside? Why would you stay in?
You just roll inside to grab some more beverages, kick off the shoesies, and then you head right back outside. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year.
It's great that it's mid-April and the state's going to burn up by June. But in the meantime, enjoy the nice weather.
Hey, it's supposed to rain on Saturday and Sunday, though. So.
Oh, it is? Good.
Yeah.
We got a little rain.
We got a sunny, we got a nice week, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it's back.
That's the only negative about this is this is going to cause a lot of wildfires this summer, isn't it?
Oh, it's already started.
Yeah.
There's already a fire up north of Klamath Falls.
Yeah. Well, we told you this last week that California has like, they call it whatever, their moisture dew meter. They take ground samples, and the lower the number is, the worse it is. It means that you just are sitting on a tinder box, and the worst they've had was like a 135 over since they've been doing this over the last couple decades, and it's like at a 110 right now. So they are saying that California is going to go up something fierce. There are people in California that are just preemptively packing up and getting ready. They're in high risk areas because they know eventually they're gonna be packing up and getting ready to go.
All right, you guys ready for some hot sports talk today?
Yes.
You guys ready, huh? You guys ready out there? Mike's ready. Mike's fired up. Can't calm him down. Big Sook's jacked.
He's got his Bronco shirt on. Although the Trey Lance dreams are dying slowly.
Why?
Well, because it's probably the Niners who are going to take Trey Lance now.
You know,
what?
Yeah, we got we're tracking airplanes again. The Niners are in North Dakota.
So are the Broncos, though. What am I to do with this?
And the Falcons.
Information.
And the Patriots.
Well, it's not Mac Jones anymore, apparently. He's back to sucking.
No one knows anything.
No.
I'm so tired of people pretending they know everything.
Not a damn thing.
Oh, wait.
Wait, do we know things?
Well, anyway, we're ready to hot sports talk with you guys. And we have to. It's April. And usually the Blazer talk spikes this time of year.
Oof.
And lo and behold, it's the subject of our poll question again.
Yeah. Yeah, you delayed the inevitable with that Spurs win, and then reality set back in.
Yep, that's where we'll start, guys. And then we'll get to our NFL weekend reach around, which includes a lot of things, including Aldon Smith couldn't wait 2 days, 2 days before a warrant for his arrest. 318 on the Fan.
Bro. Brother.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Now would be a good time to report that the Mariners have the number one bullpen in Major League Baseball. Thank you.
They're one of, four teams, I think, with 10 wins?
Quick text, 503-250-1080. Is Hammock Lady a former sailor? Seems like an advanced move to whip out a couple of knots over a cliff.
Now
that from P1DZ.
These portable hammocks, they're super easy. They just kind of wrap around and they're like tension hammocks. She looks 100% like someone that
she houseless
frequently heads to REI. No, she is not houseless.
REI. Think that's where she got her hammock?
That's where she got her hammock.
$700 hammock.
100%.
As well as her shoes and probably her jacket.
Yes. But then she hates corporations and big business, but loves North Face and REI and all of that because they have a soul, even though I'm pretty sure it's tiny Vietnamese hands that are stitching all of their hammocks. But don't tell her that.
Here's our poll question today.
We're just
today.
Making a lot of sweeping judgments on her, and now I feel bad.
You are. Don't lump me into that. That was not a we. That was a you. AAA Heating and Cooling poll question. Family business, helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today at 1080thefan.com, we are asking you, should Terry Stotts be fired?
Dun, dun.
Yes, no, or bifurcate?
Trifurcate.
I am going to bifurcate.
Or trifurcate.
No, I am going to bifurcate.
Bifurcate.
Okay, what do you mean? You're just going to bifurcate?
You don't fire him now. I mean, what's the...
Well, I don't... You didn't say now.
You're not going to can him. And so, look, I suppose something funky can happen towards the end of the year. But so this is why I'm bifurcating.
What if they win 16 in a row?
Exactly. That's kind of my point. If they figure this thing out and you go on to make a run to the Western Conference Finals, then he keeps his job. But at the end of the year, If this is the Blazer team that we're seeing and it's another first round exit, then yes, I think at that point it's fair to say whether it's his fault or not that a new voice needs to be had
Blazers.
And that a change will be made. There will be a fall guy here for the season, and it's going to be Terry Stotts. And I actually don't think that there's anything remotely controversial about saying that this is his mess to deal with.
Stotts?
Yeah, you are the head coach, and you have been given a talented roster. Yes, there has been injuries, and yes, it certainly is not a great roster, but it's certainly better than this, and it's certainly better than getting blown out by the Charlotte Hornets without, like, what, four of their five best players. I don't care whether you have Damian Lillard or not. That's embarrassing. And the 40-point quarters, you know, that's got to fall on someone, and you're not just going to replace the entire team. You're not firing the owner. And all of the GMs going anywhere. So again,
fire the owner.
Whether it's fair or not, this is going to be Terry Stotts' baby that falls in his lap. And that's the way it works in all sports.
Well, he's going to get fired.
Yes.
But like you said, short of, maybe they turn it around here. But in the event that they don't, which they likely won't.
Doesn't look that way.
He's out, which I don't disapprove of, because I've been wanting the Blazers to shake it up for a while. And that is a shakeup.
Yeah.
That is more major than signing another 6'3 guard or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all these big moves that we think are big aren't, or we make them bigger than they are, you know?
Yeah.
And then it turns out that shockingly, somehow we're stunned that it's the same, same team.
To your point, right? Derek Jones.
So Terry, hold on. So Terry's firing Terry Stotts. I think something weird's going on this year. And I don't think it's all Terry Stotts' fault, which I'll get to in a second. But ultimately, if they fire him, I it's like, you know, I've seen too much of the same thing. Yeah. All for it. See if you can, you know, we always talk about them taking a swinge. Well, that would be a fairly big swinge, one of the bigger swinges that they've taken in a while. And I'm all for that. And that sucks for Terry Stotts. But he's been here a long time, and it is definitely not working this year. What I think is going on in the NBA is I think the quick turnaround after the bubble was hard. And I think there are a lot of players in the NBA this season who aren't into it. And I think that includes some Trailblazers, which could maybe lead to the reason why Derek Jones was benched. Mm-hmm. Clearly something's up, right? With the team, it's weird. And I don't think that's all on Terry Stotts. I think the same thing is happening with Dallas. I mean, should Rick Carlisle be fired? The answer is no. Rick Carlisle is an excellent coach, but he's having the same problem in Dallas. They aren't playing hard, and they should be better than they are.
They
like
just
it's
got
the
done
same thing.
To Sacramento.
So it's funny how more screams for Terry Stotts' head occur when Damian Lillard is out. That's another thing. You know, Lillard's been out for two games now, and it's shocking. What exactly are the Blazers without Damian Lillard? They're a lottery team. So then they don't have Lillard for two games, and then they get their ass kicked and fall down by 25 to Charlotte. Because their guys aren't playing hard and don't give a rip about defense. And, oh, by the way, they don't have the one good player that they have. That's not all on Terry Stotts. But to bring it full circle, yes, if they make a move, which they're probably going to, it's not going to be anybody else. So I'm all for trying a different coach. But this is just a weird year. I don't know what's going on in the league. I don't know what's going on with the Blazers. But I think there's just a lot of guys that aren't into it for whatever reason. And I think that it's hard to see who those guys are for the Blazers. But I think we got our first glimpse into who one may be with what happened with Derek Jones this weekend.
Yeah, because when asked, you know, why all of a sudden, like Hollis Jefferson, who's been with the team for a handful of days, like he's in the starting lineup.
I think that Stotts trying to make a statement.
Well, and when he asked, he said he didn't want to embarrass Derek. I mean, obviously something is going on there. You can't convince me that is, you know... that was anything other than it's a purpose pitch.
But don't you think Dallas and Portland are two teams that, again, think about it from their point of view, their perspective of the bubble and that grind, and then the quick turnaround to a new season and the condensed schedule, and they're, you know, 80% of the way through that schedule, if not more, whatever the percentage is, and they realize they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they both have stars, Dallas and Portland, who are really good and who can do some things in the playoffs. But I think both teams realize, after all that they've been through, they're just not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I think it's hard to get a consistent effort, especially with Damian Lillard on the bench, not leading that charge. I just think it's hard to get a consistent effort. And that's why you fall behind by 29 to a Charlotte team that's missing its five best players. I mean, that's inexcusable. So if you say, hey, Stotts needs to go for that, I'm all for it. I cannot argue with that. Yeah. I get it.
Because at the end of the day, it is Terry Stotts' job.
That's right.
To figure out how to work this. And I get that he has not been given the most talented roster, but he certainly has been giving, he's been giving players that are capable of being better than this.
But NBA coaches, that is such a hard job because these guys kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they just, if they want to run you out of town or if they don't give a rip, they're not going to. You're not going to change. Like I said, Rick Carlisle, I think, is one of the best coaches in this league. He is a top three or four coach in this league. Consistently good. And I think he's having the same problem that Terry Stotts is having, is those guys in Dallas realize they're not that good and they don't really care. They don't play much defense. They watch Luka shoot, you know, 30 times and call it a night, cash in their checks and want to go home. Seth, I think Portland's in that boat too.
Carlisle has something though that obviously he's, you know, when you win a ring,
sure,
that gives you some more. And Dallas,
I'm just saying it's not.
And Dallas has been in the middle of a rebuild and Portland has not. But I do get where you're going that they are.
It's not all the coach. It's just not all on the coach.
Sure, sure.
But and that's evidenced by Rick Carlisle. But I also think they're kind of similar. I mean, yeah, they've been going through a rebuild in Dallas, but when they got Porzingis, and that hasn't really worked, that was better than what the Blazers are putting out. Doncic and Porzingis is a better 1-2 than Lillard and McCollum. And then if you want to compare rosters going down, the Blazers are probably deeper, but they're pretty similar. I mean, you got one star, one all-star, one bona fide all-star.
One borderline guy. And,
and nobody else that's an all-star.
And then role players.
Right. So it's the kind of the same team. They're in the same position in the standings. They have a coach who suckled at the teat of the other. I mean, the parallels between Dallas and Portland are immense right now. And I just think that there's no heat on Rick Carlisle because, like you said, Rick Carlisle's earned that right. But unfortunately, Terry Stotts hasn't taken the team deep enough in the last 9 years or whenever. And so he's probably going to fall on the sword.
Yeah, but I promise you in Dallas, because Dallas is now, what, two full games back of Portland, right?
Dallas, they just got beat by Sacramento.
They just got beat by Sacramento.
They're not showing up.
So if you're the Mavericks and you got done, so you lost to the Knicks and the Kings back to back, and you've dropped a couple, lost to the Spurs. So you've lost four of five. And you lost to the Rockets like a week and a half ago. So if you're the Mavericks, you're probably sitting there, or if you were in Dallas, we're probably doing a sports radio show talking about this same thing of what the hell is wrong with the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
To your point.
It's the same thing, and they have a great coach.
Yeah.
That's my only point to the Terry Stotts thing. But again, I'm not against firing Terry Stotts, and I do think it is going to happen.
Because you have, at some point, something has to change.
Right.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results and expecting different results. Well, after this many years, and it sounds like he knows it too, the bristly nature of in press conferences, openly calling out team effort. He is not a confrontational guy just by nature. He's not a real yelly, screamy sort of guy. Very positive players coach, but how many times this year have we heard him talk about the defensive effort, especially being embarrassing or not good enough? And I think he knows. And in the press conference this last time after this last loss with Quick, he was kind of defensive and bristly. I think he feels the weight. He knows what's happening. He knows. And so you become a little more paranoid and you feel like you're being attacked. And it's probably a pretty lonely feeling knowing that the season is kind of slipping away and there's really not anything you can do because for whatever reason, no one's listening to you. You've lost the team. There's some internal fighting. Something's going on. And you alluded to it. And we had, when Quick was on, he just said it was a weird year. And Lillard even said it was weird, but he couldn't put his finger on it. Something tells me that he probably could. He's just not something that he's openly sharing with everybody.
I think that's the elephant in the room right there. Is nobody wants to admit, because these guys make so much money and they'll get crushed if they say it, nobody wants to fully come out and be honest that a lot of players are not into this season.
Yeah.
They're just not into it. They made him turn around really fast after the bubble, and they're pissed about it. And it took them a while to ramp it up. It's a tough schedule. Guys are in and out of the lineup. Nobody can stay healthy. It's just been a weird go. And whether you think that's right or not, not here to debate that. All I'm telling you is it's pretty obvious that is happening all across the league. It didn't happen in Utah.
No.
Which is one of the reasons why Utah is number one in the West, right? Portland, it's happening. Well, for whatever, I don't know who the guys are.
And the good teams are figuring out, because the Clippers, and I know the Rondo thing had a big, you know, that it's paid huge dividends for them, but you're seeing the better teams. And the Clippers, by the way, were just as guilty as anyone this year of kind of hemming and hawing away, you know, sitting there in the 4 or 5 range.
That's what I mean.
And all of a sudden, the Clippers have figured it out that, hey, it's go time.
Denver did the same thing.
And it's, you put your foot on the gas, and Portland has not been able, whether it's just a talent issue or, like you said, for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to figure it out. Neither is Dallas.
Well, it's that they're not trying to figure it out. It's that a lot of these guys are cooked. That's what I'm saying. And I think you see that. There's no energy. There's no effort.
Well, and is there a realization, too, that, like you said, that maybe there's
they're not
a ceiling
any good.
And you realize that no matter the effort you put in, it's not going to get you where you need to go. And because it's a long, weird year.
Exactly.
You know, it's hard to.
And I think the Blazers are dealing with that. And I think Dallas is dealing with that. Anyway, that's our poll question. Should Terry Stotts be fired? Yes, no, bifurcate, vote. 1080thefan.com. NFL weekend reach around. Alden Smith, you did not. Literally 2 days after signing with the Seahawks. That's next. Here's Mike.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
A lot of people wanting to already jump to the who replaces Terry Stotts convo.
Really?
And yeah. I think that it kind of almost feels like it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it feels inevitable.
It really does.
I always find it a little weird talking about a guy when he hadn't been fired. So, I mean, I get why people do it.
A little early yet, but
yeah, it seems a.
There are some names that are floating out there, some interesting, some not. But we'll just
there's a long time because it's not happening this season. I mean,
well, I think it could happen within the next month.
You think they're not firing him during this season. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, no, but there's only like 3 weeks left.
And I understand
that. And then you get swept in the playoffs and then bada bing. Bye bye.
Yes.
Well, anyway, we'll circle back to that. So the NFL weekend reach around has a lot of content today.
Yes. Surprisingly, a lot of news.
Or not so surprisingly, it's the NFL. There's always something.
Yeah, there is always something.
Crazy little league that
it's kind of a quiet time.
You always get the pre-draft rumors and. Mm-hmm.
And there's still some free agents out there. Every now and then you hear about one. You're like, oh, yeah. Like, you forgot.
Who's still out there?
Well, KJ Wright.
Bobby!
Still hasn't been signed yet. And then who was I reading about? Villanueva, the tackle for the Steelers, is still a free agent.
Oh, really?
So I'm saying, like, yeah. And so I guess he's visiting Baltimore and there's some talk that maybe they're going to deal Orlando Brown. And I just honestly, I hadn't realized that he hadn't been signed yet. And it was like a week ago. There was a Seahawks beat reporter who was on with Dusty and AJ. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, KJ Wright still hasn't signed. So there are still some people that are floating around out there. And you just kind of forget about it because most of the name free agents obviously are long gone. But there are every now and then a name pops up and you kind of forget about it.
Well, based on his performance with Dallas, if you're a Seahawks fan, you probably like them signing Alden Smith.
I did. I didn't understand why Dallas didn't re-sign him. I thought he was a nice player.
He was good.
For the Cowboys last year, especially considering the fact that he hadn't played in 4 or 5 years. So it was a little kind of shocking that Dallas, who needs defensive help, just let him go.
So he signed with the Seahawks on Thursday of last week. Saturday.
Yeah.
Apparently, he choked someone unconscious after an altercation in a coffee house.
And I guess it was an acquaintance. He knew the guy. I guess it wasn't. Well, I'm assuming it's a guy. I guess
this was in New Orleans.
I guess I didn't read whether it was a guy or girl. It just said that it was an acquaintance. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, it's unbelievable. After all that crap, you finally get yourself back in a position to be in the NFL. You have a productive season. And you sign another 1 year deal, and now this. And I guess maybe you give him the benefit of the doubt. Not really. He ran out of those, but you wonder. Like when I was asking the question why Dallas didn't resign it, maybe Dallas just knew. You know, after spending a year with him in the locker room, maybe it was just one of those where it was like, God, let's just get to the end of the year and
maybe
just, and you're just white knuckling it the whole time.
But Dallas doesn't really seem to care about that thing, that kind of stuff, though.
No, but if you've got a guy that actively is just, you know, it's a matter of time and you're Dallas, maybe you just look at it and be like, look, we had him for a year and, you know, this is going to end sooner than later. And you just, you're done with him.
That may be McCarthy, but from what we know of Jerry, I don't think he operates that way. If Smith can play and he had played well for Dallas, then I think, you know, Jerry's certainly known to stick with guys like that, but who knows?
Yeah.
So there's been a warrant issued for Smith's arrest.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Seahawks say that they're aware of it and they're, you know, they're not doing anything. They're just going to wait.
Yeah. Nothing you can do. But I mean, honestly, at this point, does anyone think that this isn't going to finally be the death blow of Alden Smith? I mean, you do that and you finally get an opportunity to get back into the league and you immediately go and do this. Like it really, and I get you're innocent until proven guilty, but it's just not that hard to not have warrants for your arrest, right? I mean, it really isn't that hard to not get in choking confrontations. But to be fair, like with the Aaron Donald situation, maybe there's a video and it turns out that Alden Smith was the guy trying to stop someone from getting choked.
Supposedly there is video.
Well, and so
we'll wait and see.
We'll find out.
Guess who's retiring?
I did see who was retiring.
So My man.
I don't have to guess.
My man, Al.
Yeah.
Not Alden Smith, Alex Smith.
No, Alden Smith, I think, is about to be forced retired. Alex Smith is choosing to go out. I do not buy that Alex Smith and his whatever that thing is that's dangling below his hip, because I don't believe it's a leg.
Oh, whoa.
It's not. Have you seen that thing? It's not a leg. It's just not. I have made the conspiracy
sickening
theory that they replaced his leg with Derrick Henry's braid that is in the back of his head, because it looks like the exact same thing. It's made of the same material. Alex Smith being able to get back on an NFL field is the most amazing comeback in NFL history. But, you know, this was very limited. And I don't think this was about Alex Smith ever regaining his career. This was about Alex Smith probably proving something to himself and not letting that be the way that his NFL career ends. But, you know, ultimately you knew that leg is not meant long-term for this league. And I'm just glad that he didn't get hurt coming back and playing on that. And hopefully he can now have a long, somewhat healthy life playing with his kids and doesn't have to worry about any of this crap. The guy's made a ton of money. Walk out with your head held high. I thought it was an amazing comeback story. And this is a cool way to end it.
Well, more on that coming up next, and the rumors about the number 3 pick in the draft. 349 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So Alex Smith retires at 37. He says he's got more snaps left in him, but he just wants to move on. The Jags were after him, you know.
He's not going to be a full-time starter. That leg, I know it's a great story, but it really does limit him. And the guy's got a bright future. And like you said, he's 37. Yeah. Let's not act like at 37, you've got your best years ahead of you. It's only been in the last couple of years that the idea of playing past 37 as a quarterback, because no one really hits you anymore, was even a thing. So all being said, it's probably a good idea at this point to tip your hat and walk away before something bad happens to what's ever left of that leg.
Well, didn't Urban Meyer recruit him to Utah?
Yes. Well, so, I don't know if he recruited him to Utah, but he was the quarterback on that Urban Meyer Utah undefeated team.
Yeah, so then Urbs and he have a relationship, and Urban kicked the tires on him and said, hey, come in and tootle.
Oh, boy.
Come in and...
What?
Come in and...
Boy.
Help my rookie?
Boy,
now whose brain is in a bad place, Isaac?
I don't think Trevor Lawrence wants to show anyone on the doll what Alex Smith did to him.
Hey,
no.
Seattle.
Well, you know what I mean. Tutelage?
Yeah. How about suckle at the teat? The power teat or the nub? The power nub of Alex Smith.
But
maybe don't say that after what Rob said. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, bye. Okay, thanks, bye.
Andy Reid said that if Alex
Smith... This could be really cool. Let's not make it not cool, okay?
Okay, Mike.
Andy Reid already said that he wants Alex Smith to come coach with him.
Oh.
Like, he's a really well-respected mind. I don't know if he wants to coach or not, but Andy Reid's called dibs, which I don't think that's how it works, but he called dibs if Alex Smith does want to go into coaching.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the Jags wanted Alex Smith as backup to Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. He said, nah, thanks, and he's retiring. Now, do you know, I had to go look this up because, you know, I think there are a lot of NFL fans who probably think Alex Smith was just okay, right?
Yeah.
And I understand that. Slow start, you know, to his career.
Well, he was the number one
overall pick.
He is the definition. In fact, he's the what everyone holds up. So when the Mariotas of the world, the Trubiskys or Jameis or, you know, Johnny, whoever, right? Whenever one of these rookie quarterbacks doesn't work out after that first contract, Alex Smith is the one guy that everyone points to and is like, see, it can be done. When in reality, he truly is an outlier. And then he had such a bad start to that run there in San Francisco, and he made a hell of a career.
Very unique career.
Yes.
Very unique.
Doesn't happen many times.
Yeah, and he had, like, what did they say, 6 OCs in his first 6 seasons or whatever.
Something ridiculous like that. And hurt his shoulder and just anything that you could face in San Francisco, he did, including getting benched after finally getting his career back in order. He got benched for Kaepernick.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the Hall of Fame monitor, which is that's a metric that Pro Football Reference uses to estimate a player's chances of making the Hall of Fame. Now, no one's saying that Alex Smith is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But they do this metric for every quarterback, right?
Sure.
So it uses Pro Bowls, All Pros, championships, stat milestones. I mean, it throws it all into this big soup.
Sure.
And it spits out a number. Number one on the list all time is Peyton Manning.
Makes sense.
More so than Tom Brady.
Well, this is probably because MVPs and
stats.
And, yeah. So, I mean, it's because it's, you know, obviously Brady's got the jewelry, but statistically and award wise, I'm sure it makes sense why Peyton's number one.
Yeah, but Brady has more TDs and more yards now.
He's played longer.
So I'm sure Brady will get to number one there. Eventually, but Brett Favre is 3, Aaron Rodgers is 4. You get the drill.
Yeah, by the now, way, those guys, pretty safe locks.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay, so Alex Smith, guess the quarterbacks that are around Alex Smith's number in the Hall of Fame monitor.
The first one that comes to mind, and maybe this is just recency bias, but I'm going to go with like a Tony Romo.
Okay, Romo is slightly ahead of Alex Smith.
Okay. And Romo's got good numbers. We talked about this. Romo, you know, didn't have any sort of playoff success, but his numbers are way better than anyone. Well, thus, in turn, Alex Smith's numbers are better than anyone gives him credit for.
I think of Romo as a much better quarterback than Alex Smith.
I do too.
But they're pretty similar on here. Right ahead of Alex Smith is Dave Craig.
Oh, okay.
We're very familiar with the great Dave Craig.
Yes. All-time fumbles leader, I believe, for quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh, wow. You really had to crap on his grave like that?
Dave Craig was really good. But
is he alive?
Yeah. Dave. In fact, I had a buddy of mine who knows Dave Craig who says he's a wonderful human being with a great sense of humor, and I think he would appreciate that fumble reference.
So right below Alex Smith is Mark Brunell.
Oh, okay.
He's Dave Craig and Mark Brunell.
Those are all.
Could those be any more accurate?
No. That's fantastic. Those are all. And by the way, none of those are Hall of Famers, but those are all really good. Is there like a Bobby Hebert in there, too?
Bobby Hebert.
Ken O'Brien, perhaps? Where's Boomer Esiason? Although Boomer's probably better than.
Boomer's way up there. Boomer's next to Cam Newton.
Okay, so Boomer slightly better than
Rich
that.
Gannon up there too.
Steve Grogan. Those are, I'm just thinking now, random like middle of the road quarterbacks.
Well, you know, I can look them up here.
Grogan
below.
Yeah, Grogan.
Grogan's down below, but not far from Alex Smith and Mark Brunell. And then it's Mike Vick and Jeff Garcia.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, although at one point Mike Vick was viewed as the end all to be all. Not so much. I think those are all very fair. Those are very fair comps. And I love how we've made it like that's the bar. If you're not in the Hall of Fame, that we just like dismiss your career. Alex Smith was a good player in this league for a long time and was a consummate professional. It's just like, it's a shame because when you think about a guy like Alex Smith, you think about Tony Romo, or any of those guys, right? We never think about what they did. We think about what they didn't or what they weren't, because we always want to compare them to the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's, and because that's just the way the NFL is. But the reality is that at any given time, there's six or seven of those guys in the league, period. And that's it. And then after that, there are the Alex Smiths of the world and the Tony Romos and the Boomer Esiason's and the, you know, all those other guys that you named. And that's the vast majority. In fact, that's not even the vast majority. The vast majority of quarterbacks in this league aren't very good. So that's the upper. I mean, Alex Smith, for a good hunk of his career, was a top 10, top 12 quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he one other stat I wanted to tell you about him, because I think that Alex Smith, as we've talked about here before, was better than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
So I'm slowly trying to make that point. But I was looking at his playoff record. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, his overall record is really good. Smith started 167 games. Mm-hmm. In those games, his teams went 99, 67, and 1.
That's,
I mean,
good.
The guy was a flat-out winner.
Yeah.
And again, not the most dynamic guy, but in the playoffs, he started seven games in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He had 14 touchdowns and two picks. His quarterback rating was 97 in the playoffs.
It's damn
mostly
good.
With Kansas City.
Yeah.
Two games with San Francisco. But they only went 2-5 in those games.
And that goes to show you that that's not him, although...
That's pretty good, man.
I will say the one knock on him was that even in the playoffs, that everything was checked down, right? That you couldn't push the ball down the field, and that he was very limited in the type of offense you could run. He might be if you had to have a poster child for the game manager, and it's such a negative title.
Yeah, I hate that.
But it sucks because it's an unfair label.
Brunel wasn't a game manager. Brunel could sling it.
Yes, but that's
and he's kind of like Brunel.
Kind of like that, but Brunel was a more talented guy. So I said, if you could come up with the definition of the game manager, but good.
Not gay, game.
Yeah, did I say gay?
You did.
You did.
You did.
I said gay manager?
Gay managers.
Gay managers.
Well, the gay game managers. As far as I know, we've never had one of those.
But he's gay.
Did you just say gay managers?
Gay game managers.
Which we've never had.
Do you have any trouble saying the word game?
Game?
What?
Say game managers.
Oh, no.
What? Game managers.
Head
oh
coach?
My God.
Do we have another one?
What?
You can't say game?
Game.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, no, but I say it with the word managers without the hiccup in the middle.
Game managers?
Game managers.
Nice.
What?
I think you passed that test.
I said right. It once.
Do you think he passes?
I don't know.
Gay managers. How about that?
Gay.
Now, what if there was a gay Bigfoot that was a gay manager? Now you'd have something. My point is that if you had to come up with the best one, I think Alex Smith is probably that guy.
Greatest game manager of all time. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I think Alex Smith was a guy that was, and when I think of game manager, and I'm not going to put Mark Brunell in this, I think of a guy that physically is rather limited.
Is it offensive to the olds to say Bob Greasy?
Oh, well, but it was such a different game. It's so hard to compare.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Joe Namath didn't throw the ball a bunch either. And yet he gets labeled as this, you know, great hero. I'm going modern
day.
He
didn't call a shot.
I'm going modern that he had very little to do with. Don't even get me started on that. Joe Namath is the most overrated NFL player in the history of the
freaking
league.
Namath was better than Greasy, though, right?
Namath was probably better. But you're talking about two of the most overrated players in the history of the NFL. But it was a different game back then, and you weren't asked to do as much. But
Phil Simms.
What do you mean? As far as the best game managers? No, I'd rather have Alex Smith.
Than Phil Simms?
Yes.
Yeah. Somehow I'm resisting your take here.
And I'm trying to find somebody else because I feel like that can't possibly be true.
Yeah. And right. That's where I'm
when
at.
When I'm saying game manager,
gay.
Mike,
called Alex Smith gay.
I want someone, he clearly is not.
What a manager. So that's good.
Even if he were, who cares?
You're talking about someone that is limited physically. That because Alex Smith was not a guy that was going to push the ball downfield. He was not a guy that was going to, like you mentioned, 14 tuds, two picks. He didn't throw a lot of interceptions because he didn't take a lot of chances. He checked the ball down a lot of bit. That's why I don't put Tony Romo in that category. Tony Romo was not a game manager. Tony Romo was going to sling it and he was going to throw a horrible pick that was going to make you pull your hair out. Alex Smith wouldn't do that. Trent Dilfer kind of goes into this category.
Garcia?
Nah, Garcia was way more dynamic than that. But I think
Jeff Garcia could run a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Jeff Garcia could run. And Alex Smith was a fairly mobile guy too. But like I said, to me,
Dave Craig,
he's the best. He's better than Dave Craig. But yes, Dave Craig would fall into that category for me. I'm open to the idea that I'm missing someone, but I think that Alex Smith is the GOAT of these types of quarterbacks.
All right. Well, I disagree and say that he's a tick better, but that tick is not that substantial.
Yeah. And for some, like people saying like Dilfer because Dilfer won a Super Bowl, I can assure you, but take nothing away from Trent
Alex
Dilfer.
Smith, way better than Trent
if
Dilfer.
Alex Smith was on that Baltimore Ravens team, guess what? They win the Super Bowl.
But Dilfer was before he got hurt. Wasn't he slinging it all over the place?
Yeah, Dilfer was a first round guy with big arm and all that. He just was, you know, he wasn't great.
All right.
But well, that Super Bowl was won by their defense, not Trent Dilfer.
We're kind of arguing, but not really. I don't know. It's hard to have any sort of
so it turns
passionate.
Out, then I'm right.
I don't know about that. I'm not ready to go there.
I'm right about the game manager and the game manager. I'm right about both.
Anyway, Alex Smith retiring at the age of 37. All right, the rumors of the number 3 pick next on The Fan.